or with the bare hand. Mixing with a knife or with the hand of a utensil is not permitted. The same holds true when adding egg or tuna when mixing vegetable bits into a completed salad. So Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen allows for, and I think many of us were raised this way, allows for making of tuna salad on Shabbos, and he says, and egg salad, and he says if you do it with a crisscross fashion, that would be enough. You can't mix it in a normal manner. This is how he presents it. L'chura, as we're going to see, not that doesn't really fit very nicely into the way Shmir Shabbos Kilchas had presented it. And that we had seen that the sheet of the Magen Avram is that a blila ava is going to be aser. L'chatchila, according to Trumas HaDeshen, and the Mishnah Berurah was choshesh for the sheet of Trumas HaDeshen. So I was bothered by this, and I saw, and this is appropriate this time around. Unfortunately, last time I quoted this, Rav David Feinstein was one of the poskei hador, and Klal Yisrael has lost a very special leader. He was a silent leader. He was not a big talker, but he led through his humility as well as he was someone who spoke through his writings, particularly some very interesting books, as well as through all the writings of Art School. Rav David Feinstein was the only rabbi on the board of directors of Art School. Rav David was something that was very, very special. So Rav David Feinstein did not write his own shuvas, but he has a Talmud fellow by the name of Maskowitz, if I'm not mistaken, who wrote two volumes called Shalos Shuvas V'Dibarta Bam. So basically he writes on a topic, and then he quotes Rav David at the end of the topic. So in the back booklet number three, he points out that we don't allow generally something that's for a blila ava. Take a look at the last page. I photocopy for you the whole tshuva. V'shamati mirav David Feinstein delo samchim al divrei haber halacha lahatir kol tzarach suda lidei shini me'at v'kol dahave blila ava davich shash min haTorah lo mol shinu yishasi v'arev. That we saw, and he says, "Va'olam nogu het lahatir binogei le'egg salad v'tuna fish, avol eino heter borer." Reb David said he doesn't understand the heter. Elim kein hein chatichos gedol shein mispatkos zu bezu aydin esinis hamashka. If it's a large mixture, then it will be okay. Al nasa b'lila ava avchashash isur Torah. Now, as the Talmidim pointed out in the Beis Medrash, there are many who point out that the Taz was more makel, and the Taz said that Nikur Dedina, you don't have to be choshish for the Trumas HaDeshen. But this is why it would be recommended that a person make the tuna fish and the egg salad before Shabbos. But Bidi Eved, we see Reb Simcha Bunim Cohen almost carte blanche, says that as long as it's done with a shinui, that it's going to be mutter. And there's a Taz who said that if you don't have the food, then in such a case, or the food won't be fresh, then in such a case it will be mutter. So hence, l'chatchila, it should be made before Shabbos. B'di'evet, one would be being somech on the Taz. So that's what comes out in regards to tuna salad and egg salad. Now, there's another topic that that Feivel had brought up with me that gets to the core of how one looks at lush. And we could have started with this topic at the beginning, because it gets back to the lumdus of lush itself. And that is, there is a fascinating diyun in the poskim about making tchina. Now, the reason I never always started out with it is because I'm used to tchina American style. What's American style? That they make it by chopping the chickpeas, and so on. Here in Eretz Yisrael, there is a different type of tchina that's not made from scratch. And that is a tchina that's made from a glob. There's like a type of... I'm not that familiar with it, so you'll help me out in the metzius. I never particularly like that tchina. It's not as good as a natural tchina. It's basically some type of compound of a dried out powder, but it's not a powder, Feivel, correct? It's more like a glob.
Sesame, no?
It's a sesame itself. What's that?
Like the raw, really thick.
It's raw, yeah.
It's a raw tchina. Okay.
It's the ground sesame.
Okay. Yeah. I always thought this is not culinary class, but I always thought it didn't taste as good as the other one. So I just sort of blocked it out of my mind. But there is, yeah. That it's so you're saying it's the sesame, and okay,
really thick. Really thick.
Okay. So here is the shaila. Here is, are you allowed to add water to make it on Shabbos? So here, l'chura, at first glance, it's a real problem. You've got a blila ava, unless you're going to water it down to the point of blila raka. The Chazon Ish says, we didn't mention this, but now is an opportunity to say it. The Chazon Ish says, but every time it starts out as blila ava, so how can you add the first few drops? So he points out that as long as you continue pouring, then that's going to be okay. So you, if you would make it blila raka, then that'll be okay with a shinui and so on. The question the five will ask is there another way to be matzdik? You were also discussing those who don't follow Magen Avraham and so on and so forth, but now I want to take it from a unique angle that I thought about afterwards. The Dirshu, quote I found, quotes from Rabban Tzion Abishol Zatzal. It's on the first entry in booklet number 4. And Rabban Tzion Abishol was Matir Tchina in a very, very brilliant way. He said that you can make Tchina because, if you think about it, what is the Isser of Lush? The Isser of Lush is taking disparate items and combining it. And this gets back, everything comes full circle. This gets back to our first shiur in regards to lush that we discussed. What is the isser? Is the isser making a mixture or creating a full compound? But the point is that you're taking, in the case, the classic case, you're taking the different pieces of flour and you're joining it into a, creating a new compound. So Rabban Tzion Abishol says, here, you're actually doing the opposite. The compound is a tight compound, and when you add water, what you do is you actually make it more liquidy as opposed to less liquidy. Now, it's true that it's going to come out of blila ava, but you're actually making it less liquid, have less liquid as opposed to more. So he suggested that that would be mutter. Rav Yashiv sort of has this yisod, but he doesn't go as far. You could take a look in Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, I gave you the Marim Mekomos. Rav Nissim Karelitz in Chut Shani just writes on page Kuf Yud Gimel, he believes it's Aser. He doesn't explain why he doesn't, I looked it up, he doesn't explain why he doesn't like the Lamdus, but L'chura, this Lamdus is a beautiful Lamdus, that the Isser, when it comes to Lush, is about creating a compound as opposed to a compound that was already created and making it looser. So if you're making it looser as opposed to making it stronger, so then in such a case it would be mutter. Now this yisod, the Chazon Ish said as well. I found the Chazon Ish is really the first one who said this yisod that I'm aware of. I believe if you go back to the Eglei Tal, we already have it in the Eglei Tal and so on, but the Chazon Ish is the one who really says this out in Non Ches Zayin. This is in the previous booklet. In Nun Ches Zayin, the Chazon Ish in Dibur HaMaskil Kosov Od says as follows. Va'omnam, im eino megabel, if you put bread into water and you don't mix it together, ein ala shriya shem lush, then simply soaking it's not lush. Lo bepas v'lo betavshil, shehamashke gorem pirud v'lo dibuk. So the Chazon Ish discusses why putting bread, according to Rebbe, who says in the Sinas Mayim is Aser, why is putting bread into soup going to be mutter? So he says, because the water doesn't create the compound in that case, it causes it to separate. V'lo dami l'nose mashke l'kemach, shamashke gorem dibuk. The whole gether, the Yisr Lush, is that the mashke causes a dibuk, and therefore it's not going to be part of the Isser of Lush. So this, the Chazon Ish says, is the reason why soaking is going to be mutter, but the Chazon Ish's Yisod really becomes a Yisod that is universal, and I think that that's a question that could be asked every single time a person seems to be doing Lush. It might be at times mutter without even realizing it because you're expanding it. Okay, now, I just want to point out that the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in both booklet number 4 and I think also in booklet number 3 in This is only in booklet number 4. In his Hagdara of Lush, Rav Neuwirth put it right in. He gives 3 definitions of Lush. 3 criterion, to be more precise, in regards to Lush. So, Ches Aleph, the Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa says, Ein yisi lishim min ator afrin lo min drabanan, elim ken yismalu shlosha tonight. In order for it to be Lush, you need to have 3 conditions. Number 1, sheyarkiv shnei gufim nifradim zeh zeh, that you're combining gufim nifradim. So that's the point. By the tchina, it's not gufim nifradim. Beis, shegufam elu yehudakim o smichim, im gdolim he mitivam, sheyo tchunim o tzutzim. If you have large pieces, that's not going to be a problem of lush as well. And gimel shekish otzam in alash, yeh guf meil muvram muchabarim zeh bezeh blibli achas. Okay. He's ma'arich more. So basically, I want to point out that the Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa says this right off the bat, that if you don't have a harkava where things are coming together, but rather you're making something looser, even though people might think of it as you're creating a compound, if that compound already existed, it's going to be fine. And we see this also, lemaisa, in the Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa as well, in Os Chav Beis, in Ches, where he says, Mutter lahatbil divrei ma'afa b'mashke, you're allowed to put cooked and baked items into liquid, gam mucham, im omnam nimtza b'kli shlishi, afal pisha ma'afa osu lihima eich, even though the cooked or baked items are going to soften, Shekain eina mashka loshes direi mafe el merachech u'mefarosam. So it's, anytime it's merachech u'mefarer, so then we're going to have this important heter. Yes, Fiverr.
By the tchina, it's very different than having bread or these pastries that you're putting in milk or water. When you're putting pastries into milk or you're putting bread into water, there, you're not making a new compound. It's just that you're crumbling up the pastries into
right.
Many different pieces within the milk. That's not considered making a compound. Making the tchina, when you add water, as much as you're diluting it, it's still considered one compound that you're being...
Feivel's 100% correct. This is a chiddush, and this is why I think Rav Nissim Karelis would agree with you. That's why it becomes a achra question. You're 100% right, that when it comes to the bread, so the bread then is being merachif inside, you're causing the compound to disintegrate. However, when it comes to the tchina, there, you're not causing it to disintegrate. You have a nice blila ava. So there, even though you're making it thinner, if the chakira would be, do you look at al regal achas? The chakira would be, do you look at the totsa'a? That the totsa'a is that you have a blila ava. That would be way you and Rav Nissim Karelitz are saying, that tchina, you come out with a blila ava. Or do you look at it as at whether adding the water, did you cause it to diffuse more, or you cause it to consolidate? And that's what Rabbi Sina Abishol is saying.
Right. I'm saying that's I would think it's a blila raka. I wouldn't think that's a blila of it. If you're adding water and it now becomes, more, then you could spill it over, most times when you make a tchina,
So let's say it qualifies. Right. There are some posts who say you could do it, but tonight that's blila raka. If you take a look in the Dirshu, that's how they quote Rav Yashiv as saying. But there is room to argue that even if it would be halachically blila ava,
because you're being mafred?
Because what you're causing is being mafred. Yes, Mati.
I was just wondering again if the Rav could remind us of the Hagdara of raka versus...
Yes, raka means, ava is something that's thick, that would fall over. It wouldn't flow from cup to cup. The other extreme is something like a liquid that's called a nozel. And then raka is in between, where it won't flip, it'll flow, but it won't flow like a liquid. It will be much more of a thicker thing. Yeshel falpel, whether tchina, it depends on the type of tchina. Whether tchina, there are some tchinas that are very thick. Even chumas also. At different chumas, some of them are definitely ava, and then there are some that will be closer to raka. And tchina as well. Most, you could probably argue, are raka, and then there would be some that would be closer to ava. Okay. There is an important tshuva from Ramesha, which I think we thought is a davar pasha. We read it very, very quickly one time, but I just wanted to point out to you that not everybody agrees with this. In terms of what is the appropriate shinui. So Rav Meisha says as a davar pashut in Lash Os Vav, Chelik Dalet Ayin Dalet Vav, this is right after Shmir Shabbos Kilchus on your booklet, he says, Hecha debay shinui bi irbuv, this Rav Eider asked him, Ha'im irbuv besakim biyadit hakaf, biyadit hamazleg, o biyad havishinui ke'en hu dekasa de sakina gabe tchina. So he asked if the back of a spoon is already considered enough of a shinui. Now we know when it comes to tchina that we saw that kasa de sakina, the back of the spoon, qualifies as a shinui. That was a gemara. We saw the gemara said that qualifies as a shinui. So does the same apply that if, instead of using the spoon, but use the handle of the spoon, does that qualify as a shinui? So Rav Meisha answers, pashut shu shinui, that for sure is a shinui. So uncharacteristically, in terms of tradition, Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen actually disagrees with this Rav Meisha. If you take a look at page 153, Ha'ara 30, he says that this that you are allowed to use the back of a spoon, he says, is only in regards to Blila Raka. But for a Blila Ava, it won't serve as a Shinui. Venira de Ain Shinui Zemaspik, and he has interesting Raya. Ella but Blila Raka, Shu Isser de Rabbanim. Avolo Chashu Shinui Gomor Lahater Blila Ava. And so therefore, you would continue to need a crisscross motion, and simply using the back of the handle is not going to be enough. And he has a very interesting raya. He says, the Gemara gives us shinuyim for tchina, and the Gemara gives us shinuyim for lisha. When the Gemara gives us shinuyim for tchina, the Gemara gives us example of kasa de sakina. So that we know is considered a shinui. But the Gemara gives us many examples of lisha. That was part of the problem, that the Gemara gave us so many different examples. So the Gemara here gives many examples, but doesn't give the example of kasa de sakina. So Simcha Bunim Kohen says, because kasa de sakina works as a shinui for tochen, but does not work as a shinui when it comes to lisha. That's Rav Cohen's approach. An interesting approach, but doesn't seem to fit with Rav Meisha Feinstein. So I would like to point out just that Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen is more meikel and he's more machmir. On the one hand, he's more meikel, that he says that you can make tuna on Shabbos if you do a shinui. But at the same time, he's more machmir on the type of the shinui. In other words, he says that you wouldn't be allowed to use a shinui of the handle. And he says it would only work for blila raka. So everybody agrees that if you're going to make a blila raka, what's mutter according to Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that you'd be able to use the back of a handle. But if you're going to use Belila Ava, so then Rav Meisha seemed to say that it's a full-fledged shinui. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen argues that it wouldn't be, and he says Rav Scheinberg and Rav Yecheskel Rata, you guys don't know who Rav Yecheskel Rata is? He's one of his, Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen's real go-to poskim. He's the Karlsberger Rav. He's a Hungarian. He's a Hungarian Rebbe. He's a Rebbe, but a very, very big posek in New York. And so Rav Cohen uses him a lot for his bottom line. Okay, so from Rav Meisha, I would have thought that you could be even more makel, but that's a diun as far as that concerned. Moving on, in terms of other bottom line topics, just to round out, In regards to the shita of the Be'er Halacha that we began with, the Be'er Halacha taught us that there's something called a tikkun ochel, that there is a concept of once you have an item that is a food item, so then in such a case, then there it's going to be subject no longer to lisha. Once it's a food item, it's not subject to lisha. Let's just remind ourselves. The Be'er Halacha said this fascinating chiddush in Dibur HaMaskel Shema Yavo, where he suggested that when the case in which we're matir, ma'at ma'at, is a case of where it's talking about Kali, and then he's mechadish this yisod of tikkun ochel. So the Chazon Ish in Nun Ches Zayin, Dibur HaMaskel Kasav Od, clearly disagrees with this. He doesn't go with the heter of Tikkun Ochel. And the Chazon Ish has an interesting kasha. If you want, we could take a look at it in our old booklet in Nun Chazayin. Kasav O Beber Alacha. Dohad Mutalitin Rotev Tok Tavshal Av Shumishum the Kimunshin Espashal Vomel Achila. So he quotes this Heter the Beralach of Tikkun Meichel, skipping the brackets. The Einza Mukhra, and the Chazon Ish says it doesn't seem to him to be correct. Sharei bepas kai gavna choshev losh. Kimosh kasu Beralach Hashem di Ramasla afil b'shem et tosefta mefarperin gluskin ubavad shlo yigabel. Vahataz dan bitchinas hamatza beraka. The Taz, if you remember last time, had a discussion about matzah meal. Whether matzah meal one could mix water with it, and how one could mix water with it. So the Chazon Ish's question is, wait a second, the matzah meal was already food. So according to the Mishnah Brura, it should qualify as Tikkun Meichel, and there should be no problem of lush at all. I thought that one can easily defend the Mishnah Brura against this kasha of the Chazon Ish, even though nevertheless, this Mishnah Brura is, as the Chazon Ish pointed out, a tremendous chiddush, but his actual kasha is not, in my mind, a very strong kasha. Because matzah meal, the case of the Taz, when it comes to matzah meal is something that you could argue basically went back to flour. In other words, you take the matzah, you grind it down to the point that's matzah meal, so then it's down to flour. So then, in such a case, then you don't have the din of tikkun ha'ochel because it lost its identity as a food. Matzah meal is no longer the food. The matzah is the food. And then it becomes something akin to flour itself. And so that's why the Mishnah Brura would say that even though he was machmir by matzah meal, that's not the same thing as pouring onto kali. Kali was the parched wheat. That's very, very different. So I think the Chazon Ish's kasha is not a very, very strong kasha. However, the Chazon Ish does have a similar heter, similar in terms of the context, different in terms of the svara. The Chazon Ish has contextually a similar heter in regards to vegetables. In Nun Ches Tes, Dibur HaMaschil Simon, the Chazon Ish discusses the issue of doing lush on cooked vegetables. And halfway through Dibur HaMaschil Simon Shin Chaf Aleph, he says, V'nira, d'kishem shebishulam afkiyasam v'mleches t'china, kiman shetchinasam noche. If you have, the Chazon Ish says, a vegetable that's become softened, and the halacha is that's no longer subject to t'china, kamokein lav shem lisha lav, it's also not going to be subject to lush. So the Chazon Ish does allow a person to do lush to food items, but differently than the Be'er Halacha. The Be'er Halacha allowed it to all food items because he has Tikkun Ochel. The Chazon Ish doesn't allow it, but the Chazon Ish does allow lush in the context of a vegetable that was cooked. So bottom line is, and Rimon does an excellent job summarizing in pages 757 through 759, Rav Rimon says the bottom line is that both according to the Chazon Ish and the Be'er Halacha, the halacha is that once you have a vegetable that's been cooked, there would not be a problem to mix it to do lush with it. For the Be'er Halacha, it's because it's Tikkun Ochel. For the Chazon Ish, once it's cooked, it's not subject to tochen, and it's not subject to lush. Of course, the nafkamina, as he points out, is what happens if you have food that's already a food item that's not been cooked. According to Chazon Ish, it would be usser. And according to the Be'er Halacha, it would be mutter. I think that's an excellent analysis of the sugya. If I'm entitled to give a haskama to Rav Rimon's sefer, and to the point that I have a little bit of a tzarachin in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. If you take a look in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa and Ches Yud Tes, he sort of hedges his bets. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa sort of puts together the Chazon Ish and the Be'er Halacha. And I think Rav Rimon is correct to point out that they're really different. But take a look at Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. I'll leave off with a Tzarech Diyun. If you have a good pshat in how he presents it, I'd like to hear from you. So he says, Ochlin shekvar nisbashlu v'nisrachu, if you have food that's already been cooked and softened, mutalitin aleh mashkel arvo behem, then you're allowed to mix, to do lisha. Shekein ein baze lisha ela mishum tikun ochlin ba'alma. He says, not a problem with lisha because tikun ochlin ba'alma. So my tzarech irin on the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas says as follows. If he's going with the heter of tikun ochlin ba'alma, that term is tikun ochlin ba'alma. By the way, those of you who are looking at the new Shmir Shabbos, tell me if they changed anything, because I was using the old one. I'm sorry, I don't know where it corresponds to. In the back, by the way, if you look in the back, they tell you what it corresponds to. So here, the Shmir Shabbos says that it's tikun ochel ba'alma. He says it's tikun ochel. So therefore, that sounds to me like the heter of the Be'er Halacha. And in the footnote, he mentions the Be'er Halacha. But then he said earlier that it's mutter if it's been cooked and been softened. According to the Be'er Halacha, you don't need softened. Where does that word softened come from? That comes from the Chazon Ish. So if he was going with the Chazon Ish, so he shouldn't have used the word tikun ochel. If he's going with the Be'er Halacha, then he shouldn't have said nisrachechu. What does he do in the footnote? He quotes both the Be'er Halacha and the Chazon Ish. So I don't know if Rav Neuwirth changed it, but L'chura, I was colored by Rav Rimon's analysis, but Rav Rimon's analysis seems to be correct, that the Be'er Halacha has one track, and the Chazon Ish has a different track, and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas put the two together. It's only a kasha and svara, because at the end of the day, the Shmir Shabbos was only matir, that which is soft. So it sounds like the Chazon Ish. But I would have thought that he shouldn't use the term tikun ochel at all. That he should say that it's not subject to lush, because it's soft, and once it's soft, it's not considered a solid vis-a-vis lush. The biggest heter in all of lush is from Reb Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman that people don't follow. And it's in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas in a footnote. It's a wild heter. As excited participants in the tradition of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, we couldn't let this heter go by. But at the same time, it doesn't seem to be used by many. It's on the bottom of the first page of Lush, on Ayin Ches, Ha'ara Yud, halfway through Ha'ara Yud, he says, Od Shamati Me'agrashaz, Di'itachin D'lishon D'araisi Dafka B'Lush, Shuhyehe Ro'i Lefos, O Shema Sakin Oso V'yochol Eskayim Kach, Kelishas Chardol. He says, when you mix Chardol, so then what you're doing is you're making a new, entirely new compound. Or when you knead dough, then you're making flour and turning it into something that could be baked. Masha enkein lisha kazo. Let's keep the word kazo for now, because it's not really not important. Masha enkein lisha shirigilu nasos kishimachinim chalav me'avka letinok. Reb Shlomo Zalman says like this. Making milk, even if it will be a problem of blila ava, or you did blila raka without the necessary shinuyim, making milk out of powder, asher derech achilaso ach v'rak al yidei lisha, that this is just the way you eat. In other words, it's the what he calls, that's the derech achila. Rak al yidei lisha, ve'enos in klal lisha zu el kedei lechol alter, and it's always done lechol la'alter. By the way, I've heard this svara from Rav Nevensal Shlita in other contexts. That Rav Nevensal has also used this idea that if this action is normally preceded by a malacha and then followed by a malacha, then there's room to argue that if it's not followed by a malacha, then that's, and you just eat it, so that's called derech achila. So too over here. You don't do, no one does anything after that step of preparing the powder for milk. So then in such a case, then Reb Shlomo Zalman said that maybe that yitachin dekari rak b'shem tikun ma'echel v'lo lash. So I mentioned this Reb Shlomo Zalman because it's really an extension of the Be'er Halacha. It's like a Be'er Halacha has a chiddush, and Reb Shlomo Zalman has a chiddush agabe chiddush. He says that therefore that it would be, that would be permissible. But Rabosa, I think the world doesn't follow that, because then 3/4 of most shilas of food, you would say it's not a malacha if it does, if it's normally not followed by a malacha. Now, where Chazal said it explicitly, like by Borer, you know, if you have the three conditions, that's one thing. But now, you know, to say that lush is only when it's something that is normally followed by another malacha. So then you've had this massive, massive heter. So here you have what Rav Neuwirth heard from Shlomo Zalman. He put into the sefer. It's a fascinating svara. It does make its way around in other contexts. We could discuss. We will discuss in Mirtz Hashem other contexts where this happens. I think we had one similar type of instance already like this before. But in regards to Lush, most people don't take this heter of Tikkun Ochel that far. That's a unique heter. Kimdumani, that even the Talmidim of Reb Shlomo Zalman don't follow it. And Vaharaya, Rav Neuwirth himself, when it comes to preparing the milk, doesn't say that. Take a look at Rav Neuwirth Ches Yud Ches. In the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, when it comes to making milk, he says, Habalahachin chalav me'afkas chalav ragil, or me'afkas chalav miyuchad latinokos, kagon afkas eldon, I guess that was a brand here in Israel 40 years ago. Im ein avaka mismoseses miyad, if the powder doesn't become immediately a flowing liquid, which would be nozel. Kate said, Yasa, what do? Yiten chilk tzas mayim chamim. You're allowed to put hot water. Gamim odenol gabi eshotok kos neguva. That's Hilchos Bishul, which we're going to get to shortly. And then he says, V'yiten also v'mayim v'yarvei bofen ha'metor b'sif tes. You do it with a shinui. And that's going to be enough. And of course, milk will qualify as blila ava. So you do a shinui in the nesinas mayim. He points out, he then points out that whatever is the way you normally prepare the milk, water first or the food first, then you should do the inverse in that way. So clearly, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa did not go with that heter, and we also get in the halacha of preparing milk on Shabbos. There is an interesting phenomenon that we have in regards to those food items that when you put the Nesinas Mayim in, they become immediately a Blila Ava. If you put something in immediately and they become a Blila Ava, so then there might be a problem of doing Nesinas Mayim into those foods. What's an example? So Simcha Bunim Kohn on page 156 points out that there is a Prima Gadim that says that when it comes to flax, so there the Mefarshim say that when it comes to flax, there immediately with Nesinas Mayim is going to be Aser. So they try to understand why is it that putting the flax in immediately is going to be a problem. So take a look at page 156 in the footnote. You know what? Before we discuss the Prima Gadim, let me tell you his halacha, and then we'll do the flax. He writes, one type of thick mixture may never be prepared on Shabbos, even in case of necessity. Some solids are so absorbent that when combined with liquid, they merge into one body immediately and do not need to be stirred at all. So if you have something that immediately becomes a gibul without anything else added to it, so then in such a case, that's going to be a problem. So what would an example of that be? So it could be you have some type of thick puddings. If you have a thick pudding, so the pudding doesn't need to be mixed at all. All it needs is just the Nesinas Hamayim. So if all it needs is the Nesinas Hamayim, that's going to be a problem. And I mentioned the case of the flax. If you take a look in Ha'ara 39, he quotes the Prima Gadim in the name of the Ola Shabbos, that the Mechaber says that according to Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, even he holds that with flax, it's going to be a problem, even without any gibel. Why? Because the Prima Gadim says that when it comes to mixing the flax, it becomes attached together without any mixing. So if you don't need any mixing, so then in such a case, the Isser applies immediately. And therefore, one would have to be machmir in such an instance. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe in his tshuvas, on that same page, the next tshuva, O Zayin, in booklet number 4, he was asked the following question: Ha'im mutar lachin tamchit tapuche adama me'avkani masa? O pudding, are you allowed to make instant potatoes, what we call here in Israel, it's a special term, just blanking on it now. Something with pain or resh. Okay, so instant to mashed potatoes, but it's really not mashed potatoes. It's an artificial thing, or pudding. So Ramesha says, "Afkan imasasha topuche adama asur bechol ofen." He says it's asur. What's the svar over here? The svar of Ramesha is as follows: that the moment in which you add the water, it becomes a thick. Pira, I think is what it's called. It becomes a thick mashed potatoes, and then immediately you have the isser. There's no need to do the gibul, and automatically you have the isser. And when it comes to pudding, so he differentiates. Afganim masash al pudding belila raka mutter, benosin esamayim, and belila ava is going to be usser. So that's an application of that point that all starts with the Prima Gadim. That the Prima Gadim tries to answer why the Rishonim say that when it comes to flax, immediately you're over the isser, even according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. And the answer is, if the Nesilat Samayim is all that you need to create the mixture, the gibul, then we're choshesh for shitas Rebbe in such an instance, or even possibly Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda himself would hold that's going to be usser. There is a very interesting taz. Yes.
You can see us by putting when you add milk into the powder, so you have to stir.
Right.
So that
right.
Would be fine. That would be
correct. Exactly. That's what Ramesha says. Ramesha says the pira would be a problem because you don't need to stir, assuming the metzias is correct. But when it comes to pudding, he says it would be mutter as long as it's a blila raka, not a blila oven. That's
so even if it's a blila oven.
Yeah.
Okay,
so then it's talui again.
And
taz. Exactly. Take a look, Rabosa, in the taz, sifkat and yud gimel. So here, the Taz has an interesting, a very important heter. The Taz says, and this heter really connects to what we had seen earlier. The Taz says, "Upashatu dimnasanok tsas hamashka tochel b'erev Shabbos." Let's say you put a little bit of water in, not the necessary water, near a bike tsas gibul, and it already appears as already migubal. Mutter lahosif ala b'Shabbos kafisha yirtze. Then you're allowed to add as much as you want. Rak b'ma'atip in asr. Only if there was a tiny bit of water added is it going to be asr. But if there was already a significant amount of water, then the Trumas Tadashin says, the lo chashiv gibul klal. It's not considered gibul at all. The Be'er Halacha quotes this in Dibra Maskel Yachol, and the Svara of the Be'er Halacha and this Taz is very, very clear. First, before we give the svara, let's just apply it. This is a way out, that if there you want to do be able to do Lisha on Shabbos, but it's difficult to prepare everything, it's difficult to prepare everything beforehand, so there are many instances where if you added a little bit of water beforehand, then it's going to be mutter. The question is why? Chatzi shir is aser. Why all of a sudden is it going to be mutter? So if you look at the Be'er Halacha, he's merames to the svara that we said earlier, and that is if you already did the gibul, so then adding more water, is it bringing it together or is it taking it apart? The answer is it's taking it apart. So therefore, this taz becomes the forefather of the svara of the Chazon Ish, which became the forefather of the svara of Rabbi Tzion Abishol, who was matir even in Tchina. Like you said, it's a debate of whether you could extend it to Tchina. But it all starts with this idea of Ein Lisha Achar Lisha. In other words, once you've begun the Lisha process, so then everything else is just an extension of that Gibel. Now, that's a Chiddush. The Taz himself is a Chiddush. Trumas Hadashin is a Chiddush. Because I might have said, no, you did a half a Lisha, right? You're finishing. This is the other. You're doing the Makabe Patish. What's this like? This would be like cooking it halfway to Michael Ben Drusai and then cooking it the rest of the way to Michael Ben Drusai. It's not Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. It's not Ein Lisha Achar Lisha. But it could be that this is a source for the Svara that once the addition of the water is not creating the compound as being tighter, but creating it to be looser, then automatically it's going to be mutter, even though that's the normal amount of water. So the chiddush started with The Trumas Nezhen Taz was extended by the Be'er Halacha, was extended by the Chazon Ish, was extended by Rabban Tzion Abishol. That's the process over here of this Mahalach. Yes, it's...
Be'er Halacha says you don't even have to do a Shinoi and the Gibel Aspis.
As far as I recall, let's take a look. The Be'er Halacha is in Dibra Maskel Yachal. It could be the Be'er Halachas, I see what you're saying. You're saying in the case of Chardel, he required, by Chardel, he said that you do. But that was specific in regards to Chardel. Let's read together. Chardel, he quotes Chardel from the Rambam. So you're right, Yitz. When it comes to the Shasisa, there it resembles, particularly in the case of Shasisa, but all other cases, he says, is going to be mutter. So it sounds like he's arguing that it's entirely permissible. Yes.
Why are you so convinced that this has led into the Chazanish?
I'm not convinced. That's why I'm learning with you. Go ahead.
I was surprised by you.
If I knew all of it, then I have better things to do with my time. But I need your help. Go ahead.
When we first read this, it didn't seem as though it's a change in like what's happening now. You're putting more water now.
So what is the swara?
It seems like there's a line that, have you done lush yet? Have you needed yet?
Right. Right. Okay. So what Eli is saying is as follows. Eli is saying is,
you've already passed the line of Machlamendra. You're right. Saying it's halfway there, and the next
right.
Person,
right.
You think you've already done it.
Right. What Eli is saying is like this. I think it's possibly. What do you want to say, Moshe?
Rabbi would say that's the point. That now any water on top of that will only be worse.
I don't even know that. I'm saying I don't even have to say that's physically true.
What?
You don't even need to go there.
Yeah. It's just you've already accomplished the gibul.
No, but let's say. Let's take the Trina case. The Trina case is actually a very good example. So the Trina case, let's say you would add 5 ounces of water, okay? And you add 2 ounces of water. What would the Taz say? Is it mutter now?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 ounces on Erev Shabbos, right? But it clearly, for lush, for normal lush, it needs is 5. The normal compound needs 5 ounces.
You say you only need 5 achatas, I think you need 5 ounces? No. You did it on Shabbos and you put in 2 ounces, you're fired for lush.
No. According to the Taz.
Really?
Yeah.
No, but you haven't put anything in yet. You've only put
Of course, of course. And that would be Chatzi Shir. It would presumably be Chatzi Shir. Or, no, maybe not. Maybe when
it's 2 ounces.
Yesh Lodim. Yesh Lodim. Okay, but we're not doing Chatzi Shir. That's like a Lomda Shisugi. It's not.
You would violate lush by putting it in on Shabbos.
I'm not following you yet. Let's make sure we're now on the same page.
You put in 2 ounces.
2 ounces. Yeah, but that's not our case.
Okay, fine. But
you didn't have if you did it, okay.
Presumably,
yes.
So, which means that by putting in 2 ounces, you've done lush.
Presumably, yes.
So you did it on Friday.
Yes.
Then by putting in 2 ounces, you've already done lush on this mixture.
Okay.
Regardless of what's happening physically,
okay.
If they're getting looser or closer, you've done the mice already.
Okay.
Which means it's already been done.
Okay. I agree with you. I thought I alluded to that, but let me rephrase so that I take into account what you're saying. What Ellie's pointing out is the Pasha Pshat in the Taz is like this, that when you add the water, the 2 ounces, then in such a case, you've already done Lisha. And then what the Taz is saying is that once you've done Lisha, we have a rule, Ein Lisha Ach Lisha. In other words, 2 ounces is equal to Michael Ben Rusai. Now, I just pointed out that that's a Chiddush. In other words, why? Because if the normal way to do lisha is to add 5 ounces, then it should be like cooking something 1/5 cooked. And if it's 1/5 cooked, and you go on Shabbos, and you go to 1/3 cooked, you're going to be chayif. So that's a little bit of a chiddush. That's what I was pointing out. Okay. So I thought that the Chazon Ish might explain. This is my... In Achanami, I am throwing in, that's what Shir is for, I am throwing in my editorial Hosafas. I thought that the Svara of the Taz is this idea of the Chazon Ish. that you could say that the svara is that once you there, it is a migubal v'haraya, like you said, your chayiv chatas if you add the 2 ounces. So anything more, even though it's normal, since the tsura is now that you're spreading out as opposed to attaching, that's going to be the svara of why you're not chayiv. But you could be masbir differently. You could be masbir and say that since it's chayiv al tzlosh, then there's a din ein lishach alisha. But then you get stuck. How does that fit back into ein bishul achar bishul? That takes us to the right place. We're ready to start bishul. Okay, so we'll start Shia and Achzara, Emirtz Hashem, on Thursday. And, okay, now, in terms of limud of Shia and Achzara, Rabosai, we got our work cut out for ourselves. Every malach has its exciting challenges. Lush is just figuring out the different shinuyim and so on. Borer is, you have so many different siurim of Borer. Each malacha has its particular challenge. Shihi and Achzara, its challenge is that there are a lot of shitas harishonim. There's a lot of material in the Beis Yosef because there's a lot of Gemara. Okay? So if when it comes to Shihi, Achzara, and Bishul, we're talking about close to 7-8 dapim of Gemara. In contrast, to think about Lush, we were talking about basically an Amud entirely. The whole thing was an Amud worth of Gemara. So that means there's more Shitas Harishonim, etc., etc. Which means that you got to put a lot of hard work into the Beis Yosef. But at the same time, the Beis Yosef, there's a tremendous amount of information. Some of it's not so as relevant in terms of Halach Lamaisa. So what I would encourage you to do, and this is different than what I would say in other melachos and other areas of Hilchos Shabbos, is read the Tur, try to understand the Tur, then read over the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Then read over the Shulchan Aruch. If you need a little bit of background in the Gemara, go to the Beis Yosef for the basic Gemara, but do the Tur, and then read the Shulchan Aruch to have a sense of the picture of the Shulchan Aruch, and then begin the Beis Yosef. And then you'll be involved with that for a long period of time before you're ready to go to the Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah. So that Mirz Hashem is, I think, might be a way that's helpful. There's a lot of Beis Yosef, a lot of sugyas. Some of them are a little bit more connected to what is Halach L'maisa, some of them a little bit less. So every sugya sort of need a strategy of how to go and attack it. So that would be how I recommend to start Shia and Achzara. The first Shia will be on Shihia, and then subsequent Shia, you need more Shia on Achzara than on Shihia. The first Shia will be on Shihia, and then we'll go to Achzara, and then Mirz Hashem. That'll take us maybe, you know, Sacha Kol might take us 4 shiurim, just like Lush, and then Mirz Hashem will get to Bishul. Shkoach, keep on steiging.